Hello everybody, and indeed, today is the 29th of January, 29th of January 2015. This is me, 2016, god damn it, just once I want to do this stupid introduction correctly. Alright, let's do this again. Today is the 29th of January 2016, this is me, Sami Shah, right here behind the microphone and on foot today. Yep, that I don't know if you can hear the steady metronomic beat of my shoes on the sidewalk, but I am currently walking in Perth, in the suburb of Yokine, where I'm staying. That's too much information. You don't need to know where I'm staying. Mind your own fucking business. But yeah, I'm in Perth. I'm here for the Perth Fringe Festival. Today is day 3 of my run of the first run of shows, which is Punching Down. And I'm currently walking from the house I'm staying in to the bus station so I can get to the Fringe Festival. So I can do some flyering before the show and just eat some food, maybe get a drink, and then get ready for the show and stuff. And as is normal in Perth in January, the sky is a crystal clear azure blue as a thing that is really blue, and the fucking wet slap of sun, the dry slap of sun heat actually is unbearable on your skin. It feels, as I walk through it, like I am literally on fire right now. There's no moisture left in my body at all. That's just how it is with Perth. I'd forgotten how hot. It's amazing how quickly I've forgotten how hot it gets here. But good Lord, does it get hot here. And walking through this heat is something I'm not particularly used to, because I used to drive everywhere when I lived in Northam. I do not have that luxury anymore right now. And this is what Matt Damon would have happened to Matt Damon in The Martian if he'd actually just gotten out and walked around a little bit, you know, just taken off the suit and walked around, felt his blood boiling within his veins, and turned into a human-sized stain on the surface of Mars, as I probably will on the surface of Perth. What time is it? It's 5 p.m., exactly 5 p.m., as I walk to the bus station, where I will then get on the bus and then hopefully get off the bus at the State Library of Western Australia, which is where right next to the State Library. I don't have a show there, but they have some good food there. But right next to the State Library is Noodle Palace, where I hope to drop off some flyers for Islamofarcist, and then head on over to the Comedy Shack, which is another venue where I'm doing Punching Down. So here, let me give you a quick recap of how things have been going since we last spoke. I left Melbourne, I think, 4 days ago now, and flew to Perth, arrived here. My friend Sam Cribb, local Perth comedian, came and picked me up, which was wonderful of him, dropped me off to the place I'm staying at, and then I started getting ready for Punching Down, which is the show, you know, which is just a compilation of the last year's stand-up. Some new stories in there, like the pumpkin on a tram story that you guys might have heard last week, and a few other bits that I've been working on here and there, but largely it's just a compilation of everything I've done in the last year in stand-up comedy. And that's usually what I do at the Fringe shows, which is just, you know, get all the stuff that I've been working on, all the bits that work, you know, bung them together, rearrange the order so they kind of make sense thematically, and make that into my Fringe show. And that's served me fairly well. And even this year, I think it's doing quite nicely. We've sold enough tickets. I've got some great opening acts performing with me. And just generally having a good time. Got a great review today in the West Australian newspaper. I got a nice 4-star review, which is quite lovely. But now, that's this show, and that's got 3 more days to go. I'm not worried about it. Ticket sales are going well, and everything's happening. The other show, which is Islamofarcist, is the show that I have not written. Well, I had not written left Melbourne for Perth. My timelines are all messed up. But it has now been written. It is complete. It is being edited as I speak. Not by me. I've given it to a friend to take a look at. But largely, yeah, I ended up writing it. It was 2 hours when I completed it. Now I've edited it down to an hour. I think a little over an hour. And yeah, it's scary. It's the most frightening thing I've ever attempted, is this script, because it's very different from just comedy. It's more serious. It's closer to A Beginner's Guide to Pakistan, but me talking about Islam, which you have to be very careful about, because you don't want to upset the wrong people. And I'm being very cautious in the things I say and don't say, and then addressing that fact within the show itself about why I have to be cautious and how infuriating that is. That's been done. I finished writing it yesterday. I edited it this morning, and now I'm doing that again, sending it off. And now I'm running out of breath because walking and talking at the same time. Turns out I'm not as healthy as I thought I was. I've also been staying up at 1 o'clock in the morning, hanging out with all the comedians in the Budgie Smuggler, which is the location where the Perth Fringe Festival, where comedians hang out. And that's terrible because that means at 1 o'clock in the morning, we're all debauched messes. And that takes a toll when you're 37 years old and out of shape, as I clearly am. So now I'm reaching the bus stop. I'm going to pause this, and next we tune in will probably be when I'm flyering round about the Perth Fringe Festival to get more punters into my show. See you guys soon. Okay, still at the bus stop. No sign of the bus yet. The beautiful thing about Perth is that it does have a very good bus system, in that there are buses within the system, and it's very good in that way, but none of them ever run on time. And which wouldn't be that much of a problem, I suppose, if it wasn't for the fact that I'm currently basically shrimp on a barbie, to be a very stereotypical Australian reference. But yeah, it's I'm sweating. And that's been a real problem, man, this whole Fringe Festival. By the time the show actually starts, because I'm doing so much flyering and stuff, I am just drenched in my own sweat. My clothes stink, I stink, my hair is just a mop on my head. And yeah, that's definitely taking its toll on the shows, I think. It's going to affect the energy. But, oh, thank God, here comes the bus. Please let this be the bus. I think it's the bus. And yes, it's the bus. Right, the bus did come, and I managed to get off it. And now I am making my way through the central parts of Perth, past the State Library, up towards the Noodle Palace, where I have to drop off some flyers. Flying, that's a weird thing. I haven't ever done that before. This is the first year I've done flyering, mainly because I never needed to. I was lucky. The Fringe was small, my name was getting big, it was around by the same time, and so, you know, I was selling enough tickets not to need to do it. And I think I developed a bit of an attitude of like, oh, I'm above it, which is silly. Now, this year, the Fringe is huge. It's 700 just comedy shows against which you're competing, and yeah, you got a flyer if you want to get noticed. And so I printed out a bunch of flyers, and I've been going around handing them out. I haven't done that yet today. Today I'm still walking to the venues to drop off some flyers. Noodle Palace doesn't have any, so I'll go give them a whole batch, and then I'll head over to the Pleasure Garden and do some flyering there. It's colorful, man. It's really nice. There's burlesque dancers with no makeup on. There's stand-up comedians who are flyering by the different displays. There's a Ferris wheel in the middle of the city. There are hot dog stands and great food and Thai food and yamcha and kimchi and mermaids in a glass booth. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's very different from how I spent my morning, which is in Dog Swamp Mall. Dog Swamp, of course, being a suburb in Perth, because fuck it, why not call it Dog Swamp? And there's a mall there, and that's near where I'm living. So I go there every day, and I sit down in the food court, and I just write, and I do my editing and all that. And that's how I've been kind of getting my work done. I'm passing by a flock of pigeons that are on the ground and eating breadcrumbs, two of whom are perched in a man's hand. This guy comes here every day, and he feeds the pigeons. And they always come and climb into his hands and eat from his hands. And he's kind of just this weird, mystical figure who just stands there in a plaid shirt and khakis, feeding pigeons out of his hand. It's kind of beautiful, I think. It's kind of a birth moment. Hi, you guys figured out what show to watch?
Yeah, we'll go next time.
Yeah, you sure? I can't change your mind, make a recommendation or something? With this one that's coming up at 8 p.m. every day for the next 3 days. Okay. It got 4-star review in the West Australian today. It's a legit show, it's really funny. And then a week from now, get in line, don't lose the spot, I'll come with you. And then a week from now, on the other side, is the other show that I'm doing. It's called Islam of Forest. It's an entirely separate show, so you get two opportunities to give me all your money, which I will spend responsibly, I assure you. Okay. So I look forward to seeing you guys there. Thank you very much. Yeah. Hi, how are you doing? Can I bother you with this? It is a recommendation of a good show. It's a great show. The host is fantastic. I highly recommend it. I've got no bias in this at all. Absolutely. It's an hour stand-up comedy. It's today at 8 p.m., tomorrow at 8 p.m., day after at 8 p.m. And then if you don't want to watch that, if you hate stand-up comedy, for some reason you do not like this guy's face, there's an entire separate show with a different face, same guy. Anyway, long story. But that's a week from now, and so you have multiple opportunities to give me money and feed me and just be a part of my lives. And I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Hi, over here.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh boy.
What's the special now?
Spring onions and cheese.
That doesn't sound special at all.
Give me the kimchi. That sounds special. Kimchi and apple corn and sriracha mayo.
Trust me, I'll be back for more.
I'll try the second round.
Chosen to show you.
I don't want to say too much more because it spoils it, but it's, yeah.
Can I make a recommendation?
It's
fun time. Adrift in the Sea of Shows. This one's on today at 8 p.m. Today, tomorrow, day after, we got a 5-star review with the West Australian today. So it's legit. I'm not making it up. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't just put my face on the fire and go around handing it up like a crazy person. And then on the other side of that same flyer, 10 flyers so far, so that's pretty good. I am currently walking to the Northbridge area towards close to my venue, basically. The other place I was at was a little too far from the venue that I'm performing at, and because tickets are on sale at the venue, it makes sense to fly around about there. So you can convince people to kind of walk in at the last minute. Northbridge, for those of you who have never been to Perth, which is 99.9% of all of humanity, is actually pretty high. It's the drunk douchebag district of Perth. It's where all the meth addicts and the guys who like squeezing women's asses as they walk past all come to hang out and congregate and exchange notes and tips on how to basically advance the fine art of douchebaggery. There is, in fact, as I speak right now, there is a meth addict across the road from me trying to move a cup along the sidewalk by flicking at it with his extremely long hair. So he's spinning his head in a windmill fashion and just flicking at the cup, which is, I guess, a good way to spend a Friday afternoon. I mean, I know worse ways, like flyering, for example. And right in front of me is Alice Fraser, who is reading her own review like a self-indulgent person. Hi, Alice Fraser.
Hello, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Recording a roving podcast, so nice to see you. And there we go, moving on from there. We head on further down towards the Perth Fringe Festival, where at the exact venue I'm going now is Pleasure Garden, which sounds a lot more erotic than it actually is. Although there's a lot of burlesque happening there, so who knows what happens inside those tents at night. From my exposure to burlesque, mostly it's just very attractive women complaining about how the thong is riding up and wanting to get the glitter off their goddamn faces. Heading towards me right now is Perth comedian Cameron McLaren, who some of you might know from, I don't know, did I introduce you the last time I was with him? Hi, Cameron, say hi to my podcast audience.
Hi, podcast audience, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank
you
very much.
Doing the whole podcast, I wanted to ask you a professional question.
Oh, is this personal?
Yeah, about a gig if you want to.
All right, hang on, I'll be right back, guys. So for those of you wondering, the offer that Cameron McLaren made to me, which I have now accepted, is to do 10 minutes at a comedy gig that he's got going on 2 hours before my own show. It actually starts in, I think, 15, 20 minutes right now. So I'm going to go in and jump up and do that and then get back to you guys after that.
Well, as you guys are your first performer, I'm very excited for this young man to be here. This person come all the way from Purgatory from, he can explain it to you. He's one of my favourite acts in the entire world and country. You're going to know him very, very well. Please, put your hands together. We'll start with a little bit of patter, of course, okay? We're going to start bringing it up. Yeah. Start the music. Start the music. Yeah. And he's going to play the same. Shut up.
Sammy Shah, I was in Purgatory, we called it Northam, and then I moved. I was there about 3 months ago, in fact. I lived in Northam for about 3.5 years, and then I moved to Melbourne, and I spent the last 3 months in Melbourne, and I just came back from the Perth Fringe Festival, and I forgot how fucking hot Western Australia is. Holy shit, I got off the plane, and like all the moisture was sucked out of my body right away. I feel like Matt Damon walking on the surface of Mars. Like, at one point today, I actually said out loud, I'm going to science the shit out of this. And then I trimmed all the body hair. Just to make it cooler. But it's good to be back in Perth, man. I miss Perth. I miss a lot. I really love being here. I love being here because there's good looking people here. There's such good looking people in Perth. Everyone is good looking. Like, the men are good looking, women are good looking, and it's so different from Melbourne in that way. Like, really. No, it is. Like you don't. I know this to be true because, like, when I tried Tinder in Perth, I got no responses. And then when I went to Melbourne, I got a million. Like, I was like, oh, their standards are so low. This is my kind of town. Melbourne's the kind of city I realized where, like, I was actually driving down the road in Melbourne one day, 4 weeks back, and I'm driving down the road in Brunswick, which is a suburb there, and there's a guy I saw with a beard and a top hat on a unicycle, just going down the middle of the road in the middle of the day on a unicycle. And I did the only thing you can do in that situation, which is I pulled over and then I beat him to death. And everyone formed a group around me and they all cheered, and then we killed the king of the hipsters. And there's no more hipsters, ladies and gentlemen. I kill him, and there's ukulele sales across the country. It got bad in Melbourne. I got desperate to meet, like, to just see good-looking people. I missed it. I got spoiled, like, being in WA. And I get to Melbourne, and there's no one there. It got so desperate after a while that I went to a Reclaim Australia rally just to see hot women. Like, that was the only... it's true. Like, has anyone here ever been to a Reclaim Australia rally? Nobody, really? Are you missing out? I'll tell you why. I was curious. I was like, yeah, I want to see what happens. I went down there, right? And the first thing that you notice right away is that most of them are men. And the kind of men they are is that it's not like reclaiming. I don't know about reclaiming Australia, but like their priority should be reclaiming front teeth first. And then that's how that is. But then there'd be a huge group of men, and then in the middle, there'd be a smattering of beautiful women. Like, just the most incredibly attractive women. And I was like, what the fuck? Why are they here? And then I realized it's because no one ever tells hot people to shut the fuck up. Right? So that's to say, basically, when you're hot, you can say fucking anything, right? Like, and you can get away with it. And because, like, if you're sexy, you're like, they should put brown people in cages, and someone would be like, I want to be inside you. Whatever you say, I'm going to start a rally for you. Will you fuck me if I start a rally for you? Like, that's all it is. And when I figured that out, it kind of solved another puzzle piece for me, which was, I've been in Australia for 3.5 years, and one thing I always wondered about was every few months there's a YouTube video that comes up in the news which has a large, very old, white Australian lady yelling at an immigrant child. It's always the same. It's always this large white Australian lady. She's always old, and she's always like, "Fucking go back where you fucking came from!" And this like poor Asian kid is just like, "Fuck, I just want to get off of the tram." And it's always happening. And I was like, "Why is this happening? Who is this woman?" And then I realized that old angry Australian lady who's white is that young hot chick. But now she's old and unfuckable, and so no one's listening to her. Because when she was young and sexy, everyone was like, oh my god, whatever you say. And she's like, yeah, fucking go back. Why is no one listening anymore? Like, it doesn't work for her anymore, right? That was a punchline, but fuck it, we're gonna do that later. More of a TED talk now, that's what's happening. I started using Uber finally. I lived in Northern for like 3.5 years, there's no fucking Uber in Northern. But I moved to Melbourne and finally used Uber to get. And you guys have used Uber, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah, but you're like, it's one. I avoided it for the longest time. I didn't want to use it because I had a weird like thing with it where I remember when Uber started last year in 2015. Uber started in Australia, and they'd have all the newspaper articles about Uber. And whenever you scroll to the bottom of the article, you know the comment section is. They used to have the same thing being repeated constantly, and it was that everyone would always say, I'm so glad Uber is here, I don't want to sit in a car that smells of curry. And that was it, basically, it was everyone saying the same thing again and again, saying, oh, thank God a white person is driving a taxi again. It was the general refrain. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be a part of this, it's a really fucked up thing. And then finally I moved to Melbourne, and I was like, oh, I need a car, I need to get around, and taxis are expensive. I tried Uber, and like, Uber came up, and right away, it was like a white guy in the car, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I've never been driven by a white person before. It was so amazing. It was empowering, that's what it was. It made me feel good, like the car smelled of mayonnaise, like it was so fun. Just really. I went to a bank recently in Melbourne, in part of Melbourne, which is just Indians and Pakistanis, and I was passing by there, and I was like, oh, I need to deposit money. I walk into the bank, and I walk into the bank, and it was just Indians and Pakistanis inside the bank, and the entire bank smelled of curry, and I was like, fucking, come on, you're not even trying anymore. Like, I was so angry that time. But now I realize that, like, Uber's going to have to change again. Because Uber's whole premise was built on white drivers. Like, there's a reason why Uber is a German word, right? Like, there's... And now that's changing, because now all the Uber drivers are brown as well. Every time you try Uber, it's a brown guy that comes up. Like, they're gonna have to change the name again to something more German now, like the final solution or something like that. Not too soon, but just I have a daughter, I have a 6-year-old, and it's good to be away from her. No, it's just, we had summer vacations, right? And it was just me and summer, every day, just me and her in the house, and she's like, you again, and I'm like, sorry. And it just, we hang out, and you can't, and I didn't have anything to distract her with anymore. Like, I used to have, when I was in Northern, I used to have ballet classes. I used to take her to ballet classes in Northern, and they'd be 3 times a week, and they'd be 2-hour-long ballet classes, and she'd love it, and she'd go inside, and she'd do ballet for 2 hours, and I'd sit outside, just gazing into the middle distance, feeling my mortality slip through my fingers like the sands of time, and it was the best fucking experience. It was so great as a parent, you can never appreciate that enough. And my daughter would come out, and she's like, I'm sick of ballet, and I was like, shut the fuck up. It's all I have, don't take this away from me. And it just, but finally, the thing I missed about it though, is that I enjoyed going to ballet class, not only for that reason, but because there were housewives there. And I don't mean that in a sleazy way at all, like, I love housewives. They're the coolest fucking people on the planet. Like, they really are. Like, housewives don't get enough respect. People are like, oh, she's just a housewife. Fuck you, like, they're awesome now. Like, they're not like in the 70s and 80s, when it was just, like, sagging breasts and sagging hips and sagging hopes and dreams. Like, now, it's like they all sign with core exercises and so on, and they're fucking awesome. They've got a great sense of humor, they have good stories to tell, they're sharp and witty, and they're ripped. Every housewife I ever saw in Northern and anywhere in Australia is ripped now. Like, I want to be ripped like a housewife. Like, that's what I want, you know? So I asked one of them, I was like, how do you get so ripped? What do you do? And she said that she does this thing called Insanity by Sean T. Someone here has heard of it, right? It's a video series called Insanity by Sean T. And Sean T, for those of you who don't know, is an ex-dancer who looks like he's been carved from a slab of, like, Harris chocolate. And, like, he's got abs up to here. And he's amazing, and he comes on, he does these workout videos, and you do it along with him. And she gave me the whole series. She's like, this is how you get ripped, you work out to this. And I took the whole DVD series, I took it home, and I plugged in the first one, which is a fitness test, right? It's a fit test, tells you how healthy and fit you are. And I plugged it in, and Sean T was there, and he's like, all right, we're gonna do this, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then when I woke up 3 hours later, I realized I have a lot of work ahead of me. But I started doing it, man. It works. Like, it's really awesome because what happens is Sean T talks to you throughout it. Right? And you're working out and you're exercising and you're like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And Sean T's like, you can do this. I'm like, oh, I can do this. Like, I'm getting into it. And then I realized that's how you get them. You know those women who are like hot and racist when they're young and then they're old and racist now, and in between there's a portion where you can nail them and fix them, and that is when you get them, is when they're doing Sean T videos and housewives, and Sean T's talking to them and exercising and the oxygen levels are low, so they're mostly open to suggestion. And they're like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Sean T's like, you can do this, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you can do this. Yes, 1, 2, 3, refugees are people too, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And that's how you solve the problem, right? Basically. Is the punchline here. My name's Sammy Shay, you guys have been fantastic. Thank you.
So yeah, so that happened. That was basically me at the Perth Fringe Festival walking around, and Cameron McLaren, another Perth comic, jumps out and offers me a gig, and I do the gig. And that's the thing I loved about it. I've always done that every year at the Perth Fringe. You just kind of roam around and pick up spots, and it's fun. Feels good. All right, there are punters walking in now. I'm at my venue at the Comedy Shack. And hang on, the music's going to get louder. Pass by the speakers. Wait for it. And yeah, I'm in the green room. Bit of an echo in here. Yeah, it's been... And now it's time for my show, basically. I just did 10 minutes there. Did some flyering. That went well. And now I ran across and going to get ready to get on stage in a little bit. I'll go on. I'll bring on Brody Snook, my opening act. She is fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing her perform. And then she brings me on. I do a 50-minute show, 55-minute show. Maybe sell some books afterward. That's been good, by the way. I've been selling books after the show, and that provides me the money to spend on the food, because I am currently eating several meals a day because I have become a fat fucking asshole. What else? This music, of course, Hey Jude, is Benjamin's choice. Benjamin's a sound guy, and it's a lot better than the music he played 2 days ago, which was Bobby McFerrin. So there's a lot of like humming and chest thumping and body beat type nonsense happening. Yeah, that's always a big part of it, is what kind of music you kind of come up to. And for a while there's a couple of guys, sound guys in Perth used to do Immigrant Song whenever I'd come up, and no one in the audience would get it, so we stopped doing it, but we thought it was funny. Hey Jude should be fine, as long as it doesn't go on for too long, much like I am right now. I'm going to catch you guys later. And so the show came to an end. It was a good evening, good show, we had a good crowd. Brody Snook freaking crushed it, then I did well, and then I sold a shit ton of books afterwards. And after that, I came to the Noodle Bar, where I was met by the lovely, what's your name, darling?
Maya Cardia,
with her ample bosom.
And her beautiful feminine voice.
And her beautiful feminine voice, indeed. And Maya Cardia's entirely embarrassed to be seen with all of us partner.
Tiffany.
And, of course, my own partner in crime.
Mark.
Actually, his name's Eddie, but still, it's very confusing. It's a long story. I'll get into another episode sometime. But yeah, this is the Budgie Smuggler, which is the artist bar where we all hang out. And once I am done talking to you guys, I'm going to start drinking, I'm going to start dancing, and I'm going to enjoy being a part of a community that makes me happy. Have a good evening, everyone. This is Sammy Shah at Sammy Says, Twitter, www.sammyshah.com, facebook.com/sammyshah.fans. You guys can't hear me. Let's dance. Experience time.